Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. Woo! By the skin of our teeth, Nick, we survived this weekend.
Yeah, and you know what? Go Sockers.
Go Champions. Sockers. 15. Champions again. That's right.
That's right. We're also joined by Dallas McLaughlin.
X gonna give it to you. Gonna give it to you. X gonna give it to you. Were we not gonna? Okay. Yeah. All right. Hi. Yes. Go Padres.
We didn't win the series, but we didn't get swept, and that's important, I think.
Man, could there be a more frustrating series?
let's go through it. I mean,
yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with Friday night. An amazing baseball game up until the very end when it just,
I mean, Arsenio was tweeting about it. Arsenio Hall was tweeting
about
it.
Was he really?
I didn't know he was.
Of course he is. Yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing takeaway from the game for me, besides it being a great game, is how everybody in America seemed to be watching this game.
Yeah. National baseball writer was tweeting about it. It was the thing to watch, I think.
Yeah. I mean, people were obviously up till 2-3 AM. Depending on where you were at watching this baseball game, it was that good.
Yeah. So it started with, Ryan Weathers. Let's talk about him first. The first part of that game. He pitched really well. He wasn't afraid. He pitched, was it three innings basically, or three and a half?
I mean, I have to look it up. Do you want me to look it up?
But he got through what they wanted him to get through. And it was just, he had a couple hiccups with like communicating with Camposano. But other than that, he kept it competitive and he wasn't afraid of the moment. I thought that was a pretty good takeaway from that game to start off.
Ryan Weathers was great. He put 3.2 innings, two walks, three strikeouts, one hit. You know, like, here's the thing. They're obviously, not obviously, but I mean, I would imagine they are trying to stretch his arm to be a possible starter.
Yeah.
In case Lamet doesn't make it back, if Paddock falters, whatever happens, I think they have him there as their number five when they need him, and or moving forward, so I think that that's great that they're stretching his arm, but us at the same time, like, I don't know, there's some decisions that have been made, especially in the last week or so, that Jace Tingler, who I loved during last season, he's starting to really show some Andy Green colors, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Pulling Snell and like pulling Weathers after 3.2. Unless I was watching an illegal stream, so I was kind of going in and out of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were watching illegal
Common
streams.
Theme.
The legal streams were a problem all weekend, it seems like.
It was just a mess. So like, there are certain things that I missed, unfortunately, but like, unless he was just all over the place, which by the stats he wasn't, there's just no reason to pull him at 3.2. And I mean, I'm so dumb. Like, certain decisions just baffle me. They just baffle me. And stuff like that is just, what the fuck are you doing, Tingler? Like, I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, okay. So Ryan Weathers is interesting because of last season, there's not really a year of traditional development. He's just playing at USD and then they bring him up a little bit at the end. It's a tricky situation where they have his pitch count that they want him to hit, and they don't want to really go over that. It seems like they're kind of babying him, and when he's healthy, Morahone. And that's what they were doing. I mean, they didn't really drop Patino into the starting lineup, the starting rotation last year either. So that seems to be the philosophy that Preller has. You just,
I guess,
like, see what
I
they
just
can do.
But it's just like, this isn't supposed to, sorry, you go ahead, Trev.
No, I was just going to say, I felt like he was laboring more than we've seen him in the past. He was going deep on a lot of guys there in the end. But yeah, I mean, if you had known what was going to happen going so deep in the game, you probably would have let him have another inning or two, because the score did get out of hand. I didn't see pulling Weathers at the time being a big deal, but looking back, the game did get kind of micromanaged in a weird way going deep.
Yeah. It just doesn't, I mean, I hear what you're saying too, Nick, about maybe the way Preller wants it or something like that, but this isn't a developmental season. It's just not, it can't be. So like, If it is, then just tell us that going forward, so we're not looking forward to this series as like a preview to something bigger. Like if we're just working on number four and number five starters this season and seeing what can happen, then great. Let us know that. I mean, like, you know, we shouldn't be there. Weathers was good. He was laboring. Sure. Certain things, pitchers are going to do that. He, like you said, he had some mishaps with Camposano. So did Snell. But is that the reason we're pulling pitchers? We should be pulling Camposano if it's the problem. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, I mean,
I keep hearing this.
The Snell thing is still unanswered to me. I don't know if I missed the article or whatever, but he wasn't injured or whatever. He just came out in the first inning for whatever reason.
He was
just
all over the place. He was really bad. I mean,
but see, that was last week. Yeah. And we talked about that like for a second with Zach Cram, but like, If Blake Snell is all over the place, then don't you just let him figure it out if you're in a meaningless April game versus the Pirates? Like, wouldn't it be better for him to be in the game working through a game with Camposano and figuring it out in a meaningless game than taking him out and then pissing him off, obviously, and doing whatever damage you might have done now between him and the organization? Because what? I don't know. Like, you know, he wasn't hurt. If he was hurt, that's a different situation. But like, he wasn't. So you've screwed up this relationship with this guy already when you should have been letting him figure it out. It's just, you know, they're getting out of hand with this micromanaging of pitchers, not just Padres, but all of baseball. It's just getting out of hand. And these pitchers are like, well, what the hell are we doing here? Like, what are we supposed to be doing? And I can't argue with them.
Well, it's like the Padres are holding their breath until Nola comes back. Is that the...
Well, everybody seems to like pitching to Caratini.
Obviously, it's
Caratini seems to be the one that the pitchers.
But he can't catch every game, I guess, right? So what do they do until then? And obviously, Camp is the issue.
Well, you throw Camp with what you did with Weathers or whatever. You throw him with another young guy, and listen, it's going to be, you're going to have your issues with a young catcher in his first full season. You know, trying to find his way. So it's like, though you're going to have issues, but at the same time, like, you give them to the rookies, you know, let the rookies and him work through it if that's going to be the case, or you give them to like a veteran like Darvish who doesn't want him, but you're going to give them to him where the veteran's going to basically be calling the game and he's just there to learn from the veteran pitcher. But they have found themselves in this very strange situation. And I'll be honest, I don't think anybody thought Caratini was going to be any good. So I think this is a surprise that they weren't counting on.
Yeah. The other thing that happened with the pitchers, but
Camp is not obvious.
I think once Nola comes back, Camp is probably, he might go down. I don't know.
Yeah. He's not really hitting or anything either. So.
It seems like another situation like Mejia, where you give Mejia starts for his bat, but if the bat doesn't show up, like, what's the point?
You know, he's doing great in Tampa.
Yeah. So the other thing that happened on Friday night was, you know, Fernando Tatis returned. And he made a pretty bad throwing error at second base. Then that really blew the game up a little bit, the first part of the game. Yeah. You know, this is becoming an issue. And I think we've talked about it a little bit last time, you know, that Tatis seems rattled. Maybe he's not used to the pressure of this position that he's in now, or maybe it's just a young season and he's had a rough start. I don't know. But do you trust him defensively at shortstop?
I don't really, but I don't, but it's not like I, but you know, it's not like I'm not worried about him either. You know what I mean? Like our buddy Joe texted us, you know, and that a very interesting question, which was, if Tatis was in the game, do you think Musgrove throws that no hitter? And that was a really interesting question because the way he's been playing, Joe's like, I bet he overthrows that last throw to first. And I can't really argue with that, like, you know, theoretical, because he is playing very tense, it looks like. He doesn't look smooth out there at all, which is a concern, I guess, moving forward. But I'm not worried about him. It's just more of a, I don't know what's gotten in his head, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, later in that game, Manny Machado had one of the most amazing at-bats I've ever seen. I was really blown away by it. In the ninth inning, the Padres are down one, and he takes a walk, or gets a walk, and kind of seems like he pulled a muscle, and walks to first base and has the trainers come out, and they look at it. And, you know, it looks like he's really, he might be really hurt, but he decides to stay in the game. And then he surprisingly just steals second.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about it. He steals second, and then the pass ball gets him to third, and then Hosmer hits him home. But, you know, and that ties the game. And I've been thinking about this a lot all weekend. And it's just like, you know, first of all, was he acting? Like, was he just playing that up so Will Smith would watch him and maybe for a second hesitate, not really worry about him at first base running? And when then he does it, it was just insane. It also just felt like a statement of like, oh yeah, I'm actually the best player on this team still. And I'm 28 years old, and I've already put together a huge resume that pretty much no other 28 year old, you know, not very many other 28 year olds have as a position player. And, you know, he is the best player on like a top three, top five team in the league. And he kind of showed that last night. I just was like, I was blown away by it. At first I was thinking that he might be actually be hurt and just really sacrificing himself, or maybe he was acting a little bit to throw Will Smith off. It was just an amazing performance by a great player, and just showing everybody, kind of reminding everybody that he's still Manny Machado and he's the best player. And Tatis might have gotten all the headlines, but it's like, this is still his team, you know. That was just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like Manny Machado is the best Padre on the Padres, and I don't think that's a controversial statement. I know most people are like, well, Tatis is only 22 or whatever he is. Like, of course he's not going to be as good as Machado is. And, you know, that's a fair statement. Machado has been around the league longer. He's played in both leagues. He's played on the biggest stages there is. Like, he has had experience that Tatis has yet to have. And so of course he's going to be better at playing the game of baseball. But like, he is still better. Like, he was better than Tatis last year. He's better than Tatis this year. Like, he is the best offensive Padre. And I love Manny Machado. I love watching him play. Yes. I love his confidence when he gets up to bat. Like, I don't care that he doesn't hustle first. Who cares? If you're playing a game where in the ninth or in the 10th inning, you put a runner on second now, who gives a crap if somebody runs out or doesn't run out to first? Like, you've minimized the importance of innings already. Like, it's just like, I don't care about that kind of stuff. Like, it's just so dumb. And I love that all the people, he's a clubhouse cancer, he's a bad teammate. And all the while you see all these pictures of him, like, hanging out with Kim, like giving Kim a bunch of support and like laughing with the players. He was the first out to Musgrove to, you know, celebrate. Like, you know, if you follow him on Instagram, all he does is hype his teammates. Like, I mean, he's a good teammate. He's a good baseball player. And we are insanely lucky to have a veteran who is not old be on the Padres and lead the team.
If he didn't have actual confidence, he would watch this offseason that Tatis had, where he's being positioned as the face of baseball. In actuality, Tatis might have a higher ceiling than Manny ultimately, as far as what he could reach.
Yeah, possibly.
But Manny doesn't say anything in the press. He doesn't do anything. He's not like downplaying what's happening to Tatis. I mean, it was crazy this offseason, the way the Madison Avenue is starting to look at Tatis and start selling him.
He was the cover of MLB The Show.
Without making it an issue in the clubhouse or in the media, Manny just picks a moment, I think he picked it, and just said, my team is playing our biggest rival. It's the best team in the league. We're down by one run and we need a run now. And he just made it happen. I think that's what I believe. It was just one of the most beautiful things to watch in sports, to just have the best player just will his way to getting in position to score. It was just incredible. Too bad it didn't really matter because...
I just couldn't agree with you more. It was unbelievable. It was a moment where he could take the whole team and show them, this is how you do it. And not only the team, but like all the critics, you could take this and write a short story about it. And just like all the criticism about him not hustling, you know, all those things, he literally willed that run home, whether he was acting or not. If he was, it was brilliant, because he knew baseball and he was playing like 3D chess while everyone else was playing checkers. And when he took off for second, I was like shocked. It was one of the most exciting moments yeah. I've seen in forever. I couldn't believe that he did it. Slid past the base, dives in there, gets up even more bruised and battered, and just like, I got this, and just kept going. It was truly a remarkable moment. And not only to that moment, but continuing on what Dallas was saying about, he is a leader in a way that, like, if you're not paying attention, you don't see. He's always the first one when anyone gets their first hit or whatever to call for the ball. I don't know if you guys noticed those things, but like, he is one of those leaders that leads by example. And like, he is genuinely happy for other people's achievements. And it's so rare to see yeah. that, like you were saying, in the off season with all the criticism or like envy he could have had for Tatis. None of that is evident. He just seems to be like this happy guy, knowing where he fits into this team. And he just showed in that, you know, 10-minute span, how to be a leader, how to just like sacrifice your body for the team. It was truly remarkable. And it's something that if a writer took time and analyzed and did all that, you could definitely write like almost a book about that at bat and that, you know, travel around the bases. It was remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's, I mean, I love Manny, and I think he has found himself on this team being less concerned with being the face of the franchise and being more concerned with the success of the franchise. And like, he wants to win a ring. He wants to bring a ring to San Diego. He wouldn't have signed a huge deal here if he didn't. You know, and what's crazy about him is like you said, he's already had a career. He was one of the most famous baseball players in the American League East, and he was on the Orioles when that happened. You know what I mean? So it's like he's yeah. obviously battled through being on a nothing team, being the most important guy in that division. And he's easily one of the most important players in this division. I mean, it's him and Mookie Betts, and then, you know, Tatis obviously is in that mix, and probably like Bellinger. Like, those are like the four most important people in this division. And when I look at Manny, I just look at somebody who – I mean, we also always forget that for a very long time, and could probably easily do it tomorrow, be the best shortstop in the National League West immediately if he really wanted to go back and do that.
Yeah.
You know, he's just such a great athlete and a great baseball player, and you know, yeah. Tatis is great. I honestly don't know if Tatis is as good as he is if he doesn't have Machado to his right.
Well, look what Machado's communicating to Tatis, though. He's also saying, like, hey, you know what's, you know, throwing, making amazing throws that are look really difficult, that's not cool. What's cool is, like, your team's down one and you're facing a rivalry that is, you know what this fan base is going to go through if yeah. we don't tie this game and, like, at least make it a game here. Because the game was over if he doesn't do that, you know? Mm. And he knew what it meant to us. He knew what it meant to us. And also, he used to play for them. And that whole hustle narrative comes from yeah. what that fan base said. And it,
exactly.
But he's like, I think it was a learning experience for Tatis to say like, oh, that's what it really is all about. Like, you actually give your body up for.
Well, yeah, there's a thing. Tatis has really mastered the art of being flashy, which is great. And it's fun. And it makes it for exciting baseball player. And it's going to get you noticed in the media. But you're right, I think Machado is showing him, like, it's not about flash, it's about getting the job done. And so yes. let's have fun and let's enjoy ourselves, but also let's not be ridiculous. I think of a quote, I think it was Alex Gonzalez, who was that guy who played shortstop for the Red Sox in the early 2000s?
Nomar Garciaparra?
No, he was traded when he was traded, and then the guy who took over for him, and they actually won a World Series after that. I think it was like Alex Gonzalez or something like that. Oh my God, I can't remember. I just remember him being on that guy being on Rome, Jim Rome. And I remember hearing an interview with him, and they were talking about the other shortstops in the American League. And one guy brought up and they brought up Derek Jeter, and they're like, what do you feel like? Because, you know, people say Derek Jeter is a better defender than you. And he said, oh, yeah, I guess I would be looked at as a great defender, too, if I just stood in the same place for every play, which is like the greatest like burn of Derek Jeter ever, where it's just like you can be flashy and like overdo it on every play, so you look like you did something incredible, or you can just play good defensive baseball. And that's the end of it. You know what I mean? And I think that Machado plays good defensive baseball, and Tatis is learning that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the game was tied, and then they ended up losing in extra innings. But before we move on to the next game, first of all, is our new closer Jake Cronenworth? Because he's getting out. He got people out.
He's the only one that can strike out bets, right?
I think so.
Yeah, but, yeah. Major league strikeout was Mookie.
Well, there was that conversation when we got him, right? That he was a pitcher, and they were like, oh, he's going to be two-way. He's going to be two-way. And then it just never happened, you know?
Well, before we move on to the next game, what do you guys think about the overtime rule?
It's the worst. It's the worst.
You don't like it?
Oh, my God. It's so stupid. No, it's so dumb. And I tweeted it a week ago.
We're talking about the second base start the overtime thing.
I tweeted it a week ago that even if my team were to win that way, I would still feel like it was a cheap win, because it's a cheap win. It's freaking little league rules. It's so dumb. Why does baseball, Nick and Travis, why does Major League Baseball have some weird obsession with young viewers, and we need young viewers, and the only way we're going to get them is if we do stupid stuff like put a runner on second so the game isn't as long? The game was already 3.5 hours before the extra innings. Yeah. Like, baseball needs to stop worrying about young fans. We know plenty of young people who are fans. We know them personally. Yes, baseball is never going to be the sport for youth to grow. Like, that's basketball has got that cornered. They've got it so cornered. It's ridiculous. Just move on. Stop adding this stupid, stupid shit that ruins the game. Why is there a runner on second? Oh, my God.
See, I was okay with it. For me, it's like, this is out of the question for the postseason, but I don't mind it in the regular season. I don't know.
I mean, I guess, you know, what I can see why people want it to happen, because the game's like, but there's other ways to do it. Like I think Sean was mentioning when he was on the podcast, he was mentioning home run derby or something. Like, if it gets to the 12th, then go to a home run derby, just like a shootout, like a hockey shootout or a football, you know, soccer, football, you know, like do something that is exciting rather than, oh, runners on second, so now everything just got easy. It's like college football when they, you know, they go into extra time and the freaking, they start at the 30-yard line.
Or yeah.
It's start at the 30-yard, like what the hell's going on? Like, I just don't, it doesn't make any sense to me. Sorry, I'm sorry, I hate it, I hate it.
I don't understand why it stayed for this year when nothing else stayed from last year. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's such an arbitrary.
It's because they think it moves the game along quicker. It obviously didn't. The game still went for two more innings.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they think. They think it moves the game along quicker, and because of that, they're going to gain younger fans. That's what it's all about for them, is younger fans, and that's how they think they're going to get them back. And no, you know how you're going to get them back? DH. That's how you're going to get them back.
Well, that's
you're
going to give thinking. Them David Ortiz. Like,
you're going to give him a David Ortiz to grow up in love instead of watching Yu Darvish hack at a baseball, or Chris Paddock look like the worst baseball player on the planet. Like, I mean, just there's,
I agree
so
with
dumb.
That 100%.
People like literally basketball fans would watch 18-hour LeBron games if they could, but they don't have them that way. So they don't. Like, it's not a time issue. It's not a time issue.
They're never going to get the game time down until they can regulate how long batters and pitchers take between pitches. I just think they can't regulate that, so it'll never change.
Also, Nick, it's not even that. It's that the league says they try to regulate time, and then they sell ads for a certain length of time. So the game has to be held for a certain amount of time between innings.
Yeah.
So that right there is part of the problem. So don't give me this whole bullshit about like, oh, well, the game's just going on too long because the pitchers are walking around the mounds. Yes, there have been a lot of pitchers.
Is adjusting his batting gloves. That is the reason the game takes so long.
I'm willing to blame everything on Max Muncy. Whatever.
He walks after every pitch. They walk around, they put the bat between their armpit, and then they readjust their gloves 500 times. I actually don't hate it at all. I love it as someone who likes to watch the games at home and barbecue and do things around the house and listen to the game on the radio. 5, 6, 8 hour games. I'm into, like, the time is not an issue for me.
Ooh, second breakfast. Max Muncy. Ooh. Oh, Mr. Frodo. I hate Max Muncy. I don't know. I'm surprised that you like it, Nick. I really am.
I was into it. I kind of kept the intensity going for some reason. I don't know.
All it illustrated was that the Padres can't get a person in from second with zero outs. Regardless. That's all it illustrated for me.
Well, that was a problem, in the second game with the what did you guys think of the Saturday night game? You had Clayton Kershaw and
Yu Darvish.
It was a lot of left on base stuff with the Padres that,
Well, that was what was happening in the Pirates series too. It was the same kind of thing. Like we kept leaving men on base but the Dodgers don't, and we do. And that's like, I don't think that's going to be a season long issue, but it's definitely in the Padres' DNA to leave runners on base. I mean, I remember 20 years ago, I was hanging out with Steve Poltz. There's a name drop that no one cares about. And he was making fun of the fact that he was saying that he wrote a new song about the Padres called How to String Three Hits Together. And that was 20 years ago. It's the same thing. Like that was the most glaring issue because the games were not, we could have won there. And there was some bad luck things, Tommy Pham's Mookie Betts absolutely stole that hit from Tommy Pham. I mean, it was just, that was a hit and that could have at least tied the game. But so some things didn't go our way, but all in all, like you can't leave that many runners on base. I mean,
I was watching the game with Jewel, and Jewel, she's like, it's okay, honey. It's okay, honey.
In OB, right?
OB. These guys are too talented. These bats are going to wake up.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Thank you, Jewel.
She knows what she's talking about. I mean, her and her snag tooth know exactly what they're talking about.
Nothing wrong with the snag tooth.
I didn't say.
But piggybacking what you're saying about the Padres 20 years ago, I felt so much the same way in this game. Like, regardless of what we do, these are the same old Padres. They just have no clutch when there's a runner in scoring position. And then I think the only run that mattered is the first run if you don't score any runs. And that run came by, I think, Darvish walking.
Walking Kershaw? The pitcher? Was it?
No, he walked Kershaw. But the pitcher exploded. And I was like, this is the most Padres way. Like, you does not do this on any other team. He only walks in the pitcher with the bases loaded if he's a Padre. And I just felt it was one of those nights I got kind of dark. And it was just like, why are we, regardless of who wears the uniform, the Padres keep podressing and they keep doing these stupid freaking things that only the Padres do.
Your tweet last night or your text last night was so great when you texted us and said, you could assemble the Avengers, but if they're wearing the Padres uniforms, they're going to lose.
It just feels that way sometimes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he pitched great. He pitched awesome last night. You did. And
you was great.
And then he walks in the pitcher for the only run that matters. It still is like, we can't win if we're trying.
Yu Darvish has always had an issue with walks, always since he was on the Rangers. The thing is he's also had a lot of strikeouts. So it's never been a thing that people pay attention to. And he doesn't really give up home runs that badly. Like, in fact, when people thought he was done was when he started to give up a lot of home runs because it was uncharacteristic for him. But like so he's always had an issue with control, mainly because he throws 25 pitches.
Gotta remember them all.
And like, so I mean,
muscle,
but like when
knows.
He's on, but like you look at Yu Darvish and if you're Yu Darvish, you can't go, okay, I gave up one run and I lost this game. Like to the best offensive team in baseball. You can't do that to Yu Darvish. Like you have to get a run across to give him some kind of support. You know what I mean? Like, the same thing goes
there's
for
nothing worse to me than walking in the only run that matters in a game. Like I'd much rather have lost 3-0 and Kershaw got a single and drove in 2 or 3. I don't know. It's just one of those situations where I can't, it's just why
yeah,
in
just
this
don't.
Game where the pitching battle of the century is the only run that matters that way. It just drove me nuts.
I do not blame Darvish at all.
Oh, I don't.
Loss.
I don't.
Like,
I
of course he
Padres
gave up the one run, but
our curse, we don't have a curse. I think it's time we officially like find the source of what this is. so we can identify it and like fight it well, head on. And
no I know what it is. Just... It's Ferdy Raps. It's Ferdy Raps. Okay, he's the curse. He keeps cursing us with these raps.
Well, you know, Clayton Kershaw, you know, Clayton Kershaw and Profar got into it last night or last night. So that was, what do you think about?
See, I didn't see that fight. It was a stupid stream.
I got very excited. Like, oh, we're in his head now. We're in his head. Kershaw's going to blow it after this. It was the way that he got like catcher interference. Kershaw took it as he was, you know, leaning back into the pitch to cause catcher's interference. Mm-hmm. And he said that was a effing bullshit swing. Swing. Yeah.
Which wasn't very Christian of him.
No. But, you know. And it was very easy to tell what he was saying.
There was a dust up on Friday. There's a thing on Saturday. I mean, when do you think these two teams are going to have to fight at some point, right? I mean, this isn't, it's unavoidable.
Sorry. I'm watching the video now between Profar and.
I'm predicting the fourth series. They just have a full blown.
I mean, it almost came to blows with Santana and
Mateo.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Like that started, and that was all Santana. Like he clearly seemed to want to hit him, and then he clearly walked towards him and started arguing with him. Like that, I don't know what the history behind that, but there had to be something going on.
Seemed personal, yeah.
Well, and you had to have known that in the previous game got hit on both wrists. He had got hit by the pitch.
Yeah.
Twice that in the previous game. Yeah, both of his wrists got hit in the previous game, and then he got hit again. It was like, what are you doing to me, man? Like, give me a freaking break.
I love that. Sorry, I just watched the video. Yeah. Sorry, and I hate to comment on it now, but see, what the best part about that Profar thing is that you clearly, so that's not like Profar getting in the way. That's Profar seeing that the catcher is extending his glove and taking advantage of it. Yes. Like, that's how you play baseball. Like, what are you talking about? Kershaw's such a little... What an idiot, dude. I would love a brawl where Kershaw gets smacked in the face. Nothing would make me happier.
Yeah.
Him or Muncy.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. I think
well, hey, when we come back after this break, we're going to talk about the series finale with that involve video creator Trevor Bauer. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Learn Academy, a local coding bootcamp in San Diego that is redefining coding education and helping hundreds of individuals transition into a new and innovative career path. But listen, don't just take their word for it, all right? This is what some recent graduates have said about Learn Academy. One of the best, most satisfying decisions I've ever made for the growth of my career. Best decision I've made ever. If you're looking for a career change, have invested some personal time exploring the field, and are ready to take action, Learn Academy is the place for you. Learn is a family-owned company, and you'll feel like a part of the family the moment you start talking to them. If you or someone you know is looking for a new career path, call 619-940-7848. That's 619-940-7848. Or just go to www.learnacademy.org. I feel like if you know coding, you know right away. I didn't even need to say www. That's just rookie bush league stuff right there.
X gonna give it to you.
All right.
I purposely didn't watch today's game.
You didn't?
I didn't even check in until I think maybe it was in the eighth. I couldn't do it. I honestly, like, the intensity of the last two games was just too much. I was too angry. I couldn't. I was like, I know. You know what? It doesn't matter. We're in April. I don't need to be getting this worked up.
Well, yeah. Trevor Bauer started
the game. Oh, one-eyed Trevor.
Yeah, he looked really good. He's been balling all year.
And well, he's been cheating, so of course he looks good. Yeah, yeah.
True facts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been proven now. Yeah, yes. He's a cheater.
Yeah, so the Padres actually won a game. I mean, what is the... What do you think?
Now, hold on. Why would Kershaw worry about Profar swinging into his catcher who's overreaching into the batter box when one of his other starting pitchers has been cheating for the entire season? Like, I don't get where the self-righteousness comes from Clayton. I'm a golden god Kershaw.
Blue blood. Yeah, that's where it comes from. Those that bleed blue.
Oh God, just what a mess. Sorry, Nick.
He's probably using the same sticky.
Probably has. Yes, yeah, exactly. Just excited nobody's found out.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah. So the Padres, they win the game. They avoid the sweep. What do you think it would be like right now if we hadn't won this game today?
I think it would be a lot of people on Padres Twitter going, you know, I think the positive takeaway here is that we made games out of all three games. I think that's the positive takeaway. I think that's what you would have heard all day long today if that was. And then obviously the fans going, other fans going, this is the worst Padres team ever assembled and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I think that would have been the reaction. My reaction is that I'm happy that we won the game. We could have easily won those other two games if one or two things had gone our way. You saw Mookie's reaction to his catch last night with Pham. And not only was that a great catch, it was a great catch. And he won the game with that catch. So like all the reason to give him credit for it and to celebrate, I have no issue with that. But the way that they reacted was just as heightened as as everyone thought this series was. Like, this was an important series for both teams. Regardless of if you think there's a rivalry or not, it doesn't matter. It was an important series for them to win, and they did it, and he was freaking excited. So I think that the emotions are high, and I'm glad that we got out with one game. It's great. We looked good in all the games except for leaving the runners on the base. We could have won both of those games. And I'm excited for the next series. I think we'll win the next series, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the winning hit was from Tommy Pham, and you know, he's had a rough start to the season. I mean, where are you guys are you guys part of the family or against
Nick, I'm not part of the family, and I don't want to burst your bubble here, but Pham's two runs today had nothing to do with the game. Hosmer had the go-ahead RBI. And Pham was just some icing on the cake to
boost
his self-confidence. Right. No, Pham needs to be DFA'd or whatever. Like, get rid of him. I loved
wow.
Keats. I think Andy Keats said it. Like, let him go. We got Cronenworth out of the deal. Would anyone honestly be bummed? And let one of the kids come up and play.
Oh, man.
He's honestly useless. Let's be honest about it. And he's supposed to be the professional on the team. And I saw a strikeout today that was just unacceptable for a major league player. It was, 3 feet.
A lot of his strikeouts the last week or so have been. I mean, I just tweeted awful. Out a Hedges joke, but it's like a lot of people have. Those are very Hedges like at bats, where it's like he swung at the breaking balls and stared at the fastballs.
Right,
he just seemed pretty lost, and I'm glad that he had a good game today. I am very glad because he's starting for the Padres, and I hope that he figures it out. But I mean, honestly, I give him until June, and if he can't figure it out this next month, then just bring up Abrams. Like, what? Why are we wasting time with Pham? Like, it's not a big financial commitment, and
that's what I'm saying.
If you were to DFA him. I think there'd be a handful of teams that would pick him up and maybe start him, But like, he's starting for us for a reason. He was a good baseball player for a lot of teams, and I think he could still be good for the Padres, but you can't just trudge him out there month after month. We have him staring at fastballs and down the middle of the plate for strike three. It's just, it's silly.
Well, and you say he had a good game today. I mean, he did get those two RBIs at the end of the game that ended up being insignificant. But he is, I mean, the only one with a worse average is Tatis. But at least Tatis has an OPS that's higher than his. He's got to have the lowest OPS on the team. It's under 500. It's like, this is not, I know we're still early in the season, but it is like really bad, really bad.
Well, at least Tatis was stabbed outside of a Cheetah's. I mean, a high-end strip club. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, so if
Northern San Diego, not Midway District.
If we wait a month, say, I mean, they're going to give him another month or so.
Oh, easily, obviously.
But then, of course, you know, if Abrams is just they can't get him out in the minors or something. You know, he's just ready. You'd look at who would lose playing time, and I mean, are they really going to sit Cronenworth.
I think they figure out Pham
might be the guy.
I think they have to send Pham down. I think we talked about this, but they can't send Kim down, right? Like that's the whole contract deals that he has to.
I don't know how that works. I
think he has to stay in the majors. This is something we could look up, but I'm not going to.
I think you gotta leave Mateo up. I think he just needs more playing time. I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be, you know, if it was anybody, because they just sent Mercado down, right? Is it Mercado or Mercano? Mercano.
Mercano.
Oh, jeez. Mercano. Mercano. I'm sorry. There's so many.
Is difficult for me, so I don't knock
it. It's purposefully made for me to feel stupid saying, and I appreciate that. But like he, you know, he's already gone, and I think that it would be Mateo if it was probably anybody at this point. You're not going to send Profar down. Profar can play multiple positions and has always, he's not amazing, but he's somebody that you can kind of count on to get something done. You can count on him more than Pham. That's for damn sure. Yeah. So I just don't know. I don't know what, you know, like you said, we easily give him a month, but then at what point are you losing development time with CJ Abrams, who was murdering it in spring, as opposed to, you know, just letting him sit around and not get major league experience. I mean, he should be the future, especially with Pham playing the way he is. Like like next year, I mean, unless Pham just utterly turns it on, like what do you even see Pham on this team next year? And why would you?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, especially since they committed to Profar and he's playing better.
And I think, you know, I mean, they gave themselves some flexibility with Cronenworth and Kim and Profar. They have three guys who can play all over the place, and at the same time, like, you have CJ Abrams, you have Grisham, who I'm more than happy to eat crow about. Like, he's been great since he came back.
He's hurt again Yeah, he got scratched from, I don't know, they don't know exactly what it is, but he got scratched.
I told you I didn't pay attention to anything today because I just couldn't do it. I could not do it. It's just like the last two nights I was a mess. That's unfortunate. But I mean, when he's playing, Grisham's great, you know, and Myers has been fantastic. Like, so it's just like, who do you move? And the weak link is Pham.
It is.
I think he could bounce back. I'm not ready.
But do you think he is? I mean, he didn't really become a good baseball player until he was 27, 28.
Yeah. I want to see a full season that's not in a pandemic and see what the whole breadth of his, like a full Tommy Pham season.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like it's still early, but yeah, they have options if he doesn't put it together and they're not committed long-term. So I don't know.
I don't dislike the guy. I think if he could turn it around, fantastic. That'd be great. But I just, you know, last year it was a horrible year and he's just really held on to that this year so far. And I just don't know if there's an out for him. I also feel like Tommy Pham, you know, he was with the Cardinals and the Rays. And I feel like both of those locations, you know, people, I think he was unhappy because he was looked at as just a piece of the puzzle.
Right.
I don't think he was a bad teammate. I mean, most people have come out and said the opposite that played with him. So that's great. But like he seemed to want to kind of have a lot more attention and a lot more of the,
I deserve more playing time kind of thing.
Not more playing time, but just more eyes on need to be on me. Like I need to be kind of the superstar, and it wasn't going to happen in the Cardinals organization. And so they sent him to the Rays and immediately he was outshined by other guys. And I don't know. I feel like he was hoping for that in San Diego and it just wasn't going to be. So I don't know. But that's all speculation. Who knows? Yeah. You know, it's things you hear rumors about.
So what's our final takeaway from this series? I mean, we have a series coming up next on Thursday. We're going up there to Dodger Stadium. Mm. And
you mean Petco North?
Petco North, yeah.
Yeah.
God, did you guys, I mean, the conversation on Twitter about tickets has really been amazing. Just, you know, shaming season ticket holders for selling tickets to Dodgers fans and are these Dodgers fans getting into the stadium? You know, I just assumed I wasn't going to go until like June or something. I kind of stayed out of it, but yeah, this whole thing about like, being so quick to just evaluate how many Dodgers fans are at Petco and counting that. And, you know, I saw AC tweeted, you know, like a rundown of Friday, Saturday and Sunday and how Sunday had more Dodgers fans than the other 2 days. And it still seems like a very sensitive issue for us. And I hope that changes when they have like a full capacity and we can like not allow that to happen. But I don't know what the team is supposed to do, really.
Well, here's what people in San Diego need to realize, I think, is that there are lots of Dodger fans that live in San Diego. And true. I know that like stinks, but it's just the fact of the matter. Like you go to restaurants, you drive around town, you see LA on the back of people's cars. You see people wearing Dodger hats frequently when you're out and about. And so it drives me nuts. I want to rip the hat off and send them out of town, you know, tarred and feathered. But it's just, I think that those people that are getting tickets are not necessarily, you know, season ticket holders giving them up. They probably are San Diegans that are Dodger fans. They get season tickets to Padre games. I mean, that could be a thing. I don't know. I would love for the Padres, though, to figure out the season ticket thing. I put my deposit in a while ago, and I have no idea what's happening. I should have 40-year priority, and I don't know what's happening. So who knows why people are getting tickets and who is getting tickets, but
it seems like
in COVID, so that's what it is.
It seems like this season, Major League Baseball is trying to do everything it can to make the fan experience awful.
Yeah, to keep us from watching as much as baseball as possible.
Please don't watch it on TV, and please try your hardest to not come, especially if you've been a loyal fan of the team. If you could just stay home, that'd be great. And when you're home, turn off your TV. That'd be fantastic. Thank you from baseball.
And if you're a super fan care enough to hack it, we will even go above and beyond and make sure that people that are trying to watch it through, you know, desperate measures are blocked. It's unbelievable.
I will, two things. One, going back earlier to my, you know, trying to get the younger fan demographic, you know how you get those younger fans? Make your product available.
Yes.
That's step one. Step two is, I think, just to tack onto your whole like Padres Twitter ticket talk, I feel like the same thing was happening at the beginning of the season where it's like, well, you know, we just can't watch the game. I guess we're not gonna be able to watch the game. So we can't watch baseball. That's great. And then when I get on Twitter, every single person on Twitter is talking about watching the game and what happened and when it happened and all that stuff. So I also don't know how much of a real problem that was and how much it just is like people on Twitter being needing something to be upset about and then picking that. Do I think it sucks that, you know, I'm in Temecula and I can't watch Padres Dodgers games because I can't watch the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Yes. Do I think it sucks for people who are blacked out in San Diego from watching the Padres? Yes. There are so many things wrong with the system. But at the same time, it seems like a lot of people are being able to watch these games. And if it's illegally, even better, because screw them for not letting you watch it legally, not giving you access to the product. They should feel the ramifications of that financially.
It's just amazing that like I look at my life and I think about how I remember checkpoints in my life, and I can pretty much align it with each, like through the decades, I can find checkpoints for when baseball is just getting in its own way. Like and that's how I remember, like when I was 13, they have a strike.
Yeah.
Now I'm 40 and I can't watch in my own market unless I buy cable. You know, it's like, it's just, the other thing that they did this off season was they basically didn't decide if there was going to be a DH in the National League until like a week before the season. I mean, what the fuck was that? I don't even know. Like, it just seems like they're the person in the Manfred in charge is just throwing darts at a dartboard about how he can like screw things up. I don't know. It's like, it's just amazing. It's amazing.
It's like a non-fan is running baseball who heard about baseball and read it in a book and thought it was a good business idea. And so he became the commissioner of something so he could run it efficiently. But there's no apparent fandom behind the top of baseball to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. It's so weird.
Well, you know, a friend of the pod, Robert Pooter, who's a pretty level headed. He's one of the good ones. He's a Dodgers fan, but he was saying to me after watching the series today via text, he was basically saying, yeah, it looks like the Dodgers have more depth across their roster, but you guys have a better bullpen. And I think that's pretty accurate. I think like the position players, ultimately the Dodgers have the edge. I think they have more talent down the bench and just, they have more options, but our bullpen is really amazing. It's the best bullpen in the major leagues. And that's going to be really valuable down the stretch. I think that's something we can hold our hat on, you know, and then we have the starting pitching now that can go with that. But, you know, going back to the beginning of this, when we were talking about Ryan Weathers, I think one of the reasons why Tingler might have a quicker hook is because he does have this weapon behind him. So he can take, you know, guys out.
Yeah, that's true. I think that if this series proved anything, it's that we had chances the entire series to win every one of those games. And the one thing we need to work on for the rest of the season is getting runners in. I mean, if we would have gotten runners in even twice in each one of those games, we would have won. Because the pitching is there to stop them. And it was there. And so that's my biggest takeaway, is it's not like, oh, well, you know, at least we held them where we held them. You know, like, it's not that nonsense. You know, we lost those two games. We deserve to lose those two games. But at the same time, whereas last year or even the year before that, especially, I would have been like, we had no business winning any of those. We could have won them. And that makes me happy about this season, Nick and Travis.
All right. Well, hey, you know, we got a big series against the Brewers tomorrow. I'm just kidding. I don't care. You know,
hey, man. But,
it could be good.
Yeah, we got the Brewers.
You
got
to win them.
Yeah, the Brewers are a good team, man. Woodruff tomorrow, right?
Finally, a fan base with really good people. That's what we
should. It feels good.
But then we got the Dodgers next weekend. And
go through all this again.
Maybe we come back next Sunday night and just talk about that, you know?
Yeah, maybe we do, Nick. Maybe we do.
If we make it that far.
Maybe Joe can come on or Q. And a real Dodger fan, Joe Q. You never know.
So who do we have on the cannon this week, Dallas?
Man. Did I play the one that I was gonna that I teased last time? Because I totally biffed it this week.
Did you tease one?
I don't know, man. I don't think I teased one off from the cram episode. I don't know, man. With the newborn, it just all goes to nowheresville.
We'll have one.
Oh, yeah, I did. I teased Coach Lou, and we did play that one.
That's right.
Coach Lou brought up DeNorf, and DeNorf, awesome. DeNorfia got in. Surprise, surprise. But no, this week I was actually going to play the second episode I did with Danny Ortiz from 5.5. He brings a pitcher to the cannon who I think, especially Nick, you will be very happy that we talked about him.
Oh, Drisma Despaigne. Right? No, I love Danny. Danny's awesome, and that'll be great, I'm sure.
No, it's fun. No, he goes hard on a pitcher really, that I literally forgot existed. So it was really fun.
Cool.
Really fun.
So that'll be out on Wednesday. And we'll come back. I think we'll come back after the next, at the end of the next Dodger series, and we'll unpack our sweep that we're going to have. So,
oh, wow. Bold.
Yeah, I'm calling it. Bold. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast. Check out thekeptfaith.com for everything that we've been doing. And keep the faith.
Better keeping the faith.
Keeping the faith.
Go get better.